Lord has in store this morning, right?
Amen.
Hey, the kids can be released for children's church tonight or today. Julie's giving me a thumbs up. What's that mean? Okay, that good? Okay, I'm doing all right. Good. Praise the Lord. Praise. Whew. That's one big thing on the plate. Cool. Praise the Lord. So we have a good week this week, guys. I sound really loud, louder than normal, don't I? That's okay. I'll try to keep it down a little. Oh, right. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. We're going to get started. We're going to got some stuff to look at here. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, we humbly come before your throne. We just praise you. Father, we can do nothing but stand in total awe of you. There's no words. There's nothing we can say. You're just so awesome to us, Father. And as these things in life come against us, we just keep turning to you, knowing that you are the answer for our problems. You're there with us. And Father, your strength and your power your glory will be shown forth. Father, we just ask that in your name. Your glory will be shown forth this morning, that I would be just an open, willing vessel to be used to speak the words you want spoken, to do what you want to do. Father, just praise and magnify your name in all that we say and do. Father, in your precious name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Good to be in the house of the Lord. It is good. You guys are quiet this morning, man. I tell you, here we go. We had some pretty awesome stuff going on last Sunday, right? Had a couple baptisms. Lexi, Stan. Isn't that cool? That was cool. That was a good time. I enjoyed that. You know, I thought about this week. That's a neat thing. That's a really neat thing. And the more I thought about it, I thought, you know, my dad told me a story when he got baptized and he got saved, young man. He said, well, what do I do now? And they said, well, read your Bible and live a good life. Okay, he said, read the Bible and have a good life. And he was like, really? That's it? That's all I got to do. Cool. It's a basis, but it doesn't, it's not enough. You know that the Lord Jesus Christ, he came, he died on that cross, he suffered, bled and died because he loved you. You know that? Because he loves you. And why did he do that? He wanted to pay the price for you and me that he could buy us back. All the sin that Adam and Eve committed in the Garden of Eden, that sin that separated us from that walk with God. Remember in the Garden of Eden, it says in the cool of the night, God would come and they would walk through the garden. Wouldn't that be cool? It's not too hot, it's not too cold. That's pretty cool. Everybody good with that? It's not snow, it's not winter, it's not summer, it's not really super hot. It's just a nice time and you can just walk in the garden and God's with you. It's like, what did you say? Oh, I just made some universe of stuff. It was cool. I just some stuff. You know, I made this planet. It was so cool. You ought to see it. You know what I'm saying? Could you imagine? God! Huh? From the vapor of his breath, planets are formed. I was reading this week. I thought, that's pretty awesome, isn't it? That's pretty awesome. I've been doing some studies on the sun. You notice that big thing out in the sky? It's really hot. This year it seems really hot, doesn't it, Jesse? I mean, it's just like it's baking you. It's like you're a rotisserie chicken. It's like, I mean, it's just hot. You're standing underneath, you're already tanned from the sun, and you get burned. They've been doing some studies on the sun. They said the scientists believe, and I don't know how they figured this out. One thing I want to tell you. Scientists believe that they said that the surface of the sun is like 10,000 degrees. Surface, 10,000. Pretty warm. You know what scientists figure will look like when the first man lands on the sun? I learned that joke in the third grade. I mean, come on. Third grade, I learned it. And I thought, that's pretty cool. It's hot. They estimate that the internal temperature of the sun is 21 million degrees. Million. They estimate that it's 271 million, the sun is the same as 271 million atomic bomb blasts at once. At once. This thing is hot. And it's positioned perfectly to give us life here on earth. Perfectly. Perfectly. And it's not a big sun. It's an average size. They say there are suns that are huge out there. Big, huge. And you know what? God just said, let there be light. This big old thing burning 21 million degrees. That's hot. Huh? Isn't that cool? and be able to walk with God, say, so what'd you do today? Well, we went out and we picked some flowers and played in the garden, you know, did some stuff. He's like, I made a couple planets. It's cool. Wouldn't that be cool? That's what he did. He wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to talk to you. He wants you to come to him and say, I had a rough day today. It was bad. I broke a nail. It was bad. Right? Huh? You all had them days when you break a nail? It's bad. And God's like, you know what? I remember that. I was there with you. I was there with that. He just wants to talk to you. So I was thinking about that. Baptism. What do you tell somebody who just got baptized? What would you tell somebody if they come to you and say, what do I do now? You have an answer? What would you tell them? You know? And thinking about that, and I got to looking at God's Word. And that's a really good place to go. But in Isaiah 55, I got some reading to do here. I know the bulletin, if you look at the bulletin, the title for today is A God's Eye View. I got that. Me and Stan were talking there a couple weeks ago, and he was saying, but I didn't see it. I said, it's kind of a God's eye view. And I thought, that's a pretty good point, because God sees it totally different than you and I, right? He sees it totally different. And in Isaiah 55, there's some verses here. I want to read this to you. I want you to get this. Do we understand that God is smarter than we are? Do we understand that? Do we think we're smarter than Him some days? I got one guy laughing. I think I'm smarter than Him some days, and then I find out how stupid I really am. You know what I'm saying? But this is some interesting verse. We want to look at Isaiah 55 here. In verse 7 it says, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord. He will have love, pity, and mercy for him and to our God, for he will multiply to him his abundant pardon. And verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. God's saying, you know what? My thoughts aren't yours. And he says, neither are your ways my ways. God's saying, your ways ain't my ways. They ain't my ways. In verse 9 it says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You ever go outside in the night and look up at the stars? You ever look, and the more you look, the longer you look, it's like the more you see. It's like it's more. I have five brothers, and we have a two-bedroom house when I was growing up, living on a farm. So in the summertime, we slept in the barn. That's what we did. Only we didn't sleep in the barn. We slept out on the barn mat outside around the corner from the pole light. We'd sleep in the sleeping bag. And I just remember laying there looking and thinking, and the longer you looked, the more you saw. It was like you just keep looking and just see more and more and more and more. And it's like, and God's saying, you know what? The heavens are pretty high. Because you can lay there and do that, and you ain't going to touch them. You know what I mean? It's like, they're up there. God says, you know what? My thoughts are a lot higher than your thoughts. Higher. And my ways are higher than your ways. And that's what he's saying. And then he does a little thing here. It says in verse 10, it says, for as the rain and the snow come down from the heavens, and return not there again, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and sprout, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void. And I like the Amplified, it says, without producing any effect. It ain't going to go out without producing any effect. And it says, but it shall accomplish that which I please and purpose, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. God says, His word will not return to Him void. When it rains out, what happens when it gets dry out there? Everybody, we went through a little bit of a dry spell. All that rain in the spring, and the grass is just going, and you're mowing twice a week. You're thinking, man, I wish you didn't have to mow. And then it dried up, and the grass turned brown. Huh? Everybody notice that? It's turned brown. And we're thinking, wow, that water, God sending that rain makes that stuff grow. It doesn't return to void. It's doing something. God's word is the same way. It's doing something. Okay. So, someone asked you, just got baptized, what do I do now? What do you know? Let's keep looking. God's Word is a pretty important place to be, isn't it? Huh? Pretty important place to be. And I want to show you some things here. I told Julie the scripture verse is Psalms 119. Anybody ever look at Psalms 119? It's the longest book in the Bible. Huh? 170-some verses. I mean, it's a big book. It's big. Psalm 119. Psalm 119 is an interesting book. The title of my Bible says, In Praise of God's Word. You guys have a title on chapter 119 of Psalms? 119? No? No? Okay. Must be my Bible. The only one says that. There's it's really cool. Psalm 119 is what's look? 172, 176 verses. Let's just look. Because we're going to have to know it. 176 verses. Isn't that cool? That's a big book, right? Anybody ever read Psalm 119? I'm going to sit and read it today. Okay, you guys ready? And thanks, everybody's sleeping. Psalm 119 is a long, long psalm. But you got to remember the Psalms are the song book of the Old Testament. In the Hebrews, they sang these. And I would love, and I was telling Jess this morning, I would love to hear somebody do that the way they originally did it. I don't know, what kind of music would they have? Ding, ding, I don't know. You know, it'd be really cool. But it'd be nice to know that. But Psalm 119 is 176 verses. And the reason it's 176 verses is because it's laid out this way. Listen to this. There's 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. 22. Each 8 verses, this chapter, 119, is split up into 8 individual verses. Okay? 8 times 22 is 176. Isn't that cool? Huh? So, this Psalm 119 was not only sung. Anybody ever sing A, B, C, D, E, F, G? We all know that, right? We all remember. We remember that 50 years ago from when we was in high school, right? We remember that. This was the same thing. Only this tied in with knowing God's Word, plus knowing the alphabet. Isn't that cool? So every 8 verses, the first 8 verses, Psalm 119, 1 through 8, starts with Aleph. That's the first letter in the Hebrew alphabet. Isn't that cool? Okay. This next one, 9, the next 8 verses is Beth. It just goes on down through there. Every 8 verses. Why every 8 verses? Why'd God pick 8 verses? It's pretty cool because each verse starts with that letter in that first 8 verse. The first 8 verses starts with the letter F, A. The second 8 verses starts with the letter Beth in the Hebrew. Isn't that cool? And so on, all the way to the end. Isn't that cool? That's pretty cool. I thought that was pretty neat. But how would you write? Do you ever try to write something and try to use one letter and try to make it sound like it was really meant anything? Huh? God did this. It's 8 verses. Why 8 verses? I looked up the letter 8 just for curiosity because I had nothing else better to do. Number 8 means new birth, new creation, new beginning. New order of things stands in contrast with old things. New stands in contrast with old. It's 8, and I thought, well, that's pretty cool. Well, then the author went back, 8 people were saved in the flood, right? It was a new beginning. It's new. So every 8 verses is a new beginning. Every 8 verses starts with the next letter in consecutive order of Hebrew letter in the alphabet. Isn't that cool? You guys don't seem excited. I thought that was pretty cool. I'm reading, I'm thinking, that's pretty cool. And then I looked at the title of Psalm 119, in praise of God's Word. What's he got to say about his Word in there? He's got lots of stuff. And I thought, man, and look at this. That was just Psalm 119. There's 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet, and I want to read it to you. Psalm 119, 1 through 8, starts with Aleph. That's the first letter. And it means the blessings of walking in God's Word. The blessings of walking in God's Word. Psalm 119, 9 through 16 is Beth, the second letter. It means God's Word provides protection against sin. That's pretty cool. Psalm 119, 17 through 24 is Gimel, God's Word as a source of comfort. Wow. And if we read these, you'll see what it means. Psalm 119, 25 through 32 is Delef. It means God's Word as a source of strength. Cool, huh? Look at this. Psalm 119, 33 through 40 is, hey, it's God's Word deserves respect. Wow. Wow. Let's go. Psalm 119, 41 through 48 is vanity. God's Word is a source to reply to the wicked. Really? Yeah, that's what it says. Cool. Psalm 119, 49 through 56 is zenith. God's Word is a source of hope. Cool. Psalm 119, 57 through 64 says heth. It's God's Word is sufficient. It's sufficient. This is exciting to me. I'm thinking, wow, you mean God's Word is all this and more? Yeah, and more. Listen to this. We ain't even halfway through yet. Psalm 119, 65 through 72 is tough. God's word is good. Huh? Psalm 119, 73 through 80 is Yod. God's word gives a clear testimony. Huh? Psalm 119, 81 through 88 is cap. It's God's word is faithful. Psalm 119, 89 through 96, it's Lamed. It's God's word is settled in heaven. God's word is settled. God says it, it's done. It's settled. Isn't that cool? Isn't that exciting? Fall asleep on me? It's exciting. Listen to this. Let's keep going. Psalm 119, 97, was it 97 through 104? It's Mem. God's word is sweet. God's word is sweet. Psalm 119, 105 through 112 is Nun. God's word gives guidance. Psalm 119, 113 through 120 is Semek. God's word is a refuge. Psalm 119, 121 through 128, it's a prayer for vindication. And I thought, it's kind of weird that there would be a prayer for vindication. It's not really saying anything about God's word, but it is. It's a prayer for vindication for what he's doing. Psalm 119, 129 through 136 is pay. It's God's word is wonderful. Psalm 119, 137 through 144 is tzad. It's God's word is righteous. Psalm 119, 145 through 152 is quoth. It's God's word is truth. Psalm 119, 153 through 160 is rest. It's a call for deliverance. Deliver me. Psalm 119, 161 through 168 is shin. It's God's word is a source of peace. Psalm 119, 169 through 176 is God's word provides help. Wow. Wow. This is in praise of God's word. Isn't that cool? So next time, if someone asks me, what should I do? I just got back to what I said. You might want to read Psalm 119. It's pretty cool. There's a lot of cool stuff in there. You might want to read this thing from cover to cover. I guess the point I'm trying to make to you is God's word is his word. It's his word. It's who God is, right? It's who he is. It's what makes God God. It's like water is wet. It's wet. If you run, it's just wet. If you dump it on your head, you're going to be wet. That's what water is. It's wet. God is saying he's God. He's powerful. What can't God do? There's nothing that God can't do, but there is several things he won't do. He can't lie. He can't lie! It's against his nature. He cannot lie. He cannot stop loving you. My Bible tells me that God is love. God loves you. You don't know how bad I was. God does. You know what? He still loves you. Isn't that cool? That's cool, isn't it? That's cool. God, he can't. There's things that God can't do because it's against his nature. It's against his nature. It's like water being wet. Water can't be dry. If you dump it on, you're going to be wet. I told a story about my granddaughter. Sweetest little thing. She's 5 years old. She's the sweetest little thing. You know grandkids are sweet anyway. She's the sweetest little thing. And she's really got a heart. She how you doing, Papa? You know, she always asks you how you doing, stuff like that. We go out to eat last winter, and she sits down and kneels down and gets her leg wet. My leg is wet. It'll never dry. I'm looking at her like, really? I said, do you take a bath?
Yes.
Do you dry?
No.
It's like, really? Really? But I'm thinking to myself when I seen her, I'm looking at her thinking, aren't we that way with God? Aren't we?
God, please, I got this problem.
He's like, I know. I know. I know. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. I already know how you feel. I already know what's in your heart. I already know. So let's just talk about it. Let's get it out. Let's just talk about it. That's what God wants. He wants to have a relationship with you. And it's really neat, when you read his word, when you look at this, I read a bunch of stuff. I lost half of you probably all the way through it. But the neat part about it, God's word talks about who he is. It tells you what he is. It tells you about him. And when you read it, you think, that's pretty cool. That's cool. That's so cool. And in God's word in here, it says, there are three verses in here that says it's more valuable than money. Riches, gold, it's more valuable, more valuable. And in verse 103, I think it says, it's sweeter than honey. God's word, do you ever, anybody like honey? You ever eat honey? It's pretty good, isn't it? It's good, yeah. I use honey on my cereal, oatmeal. Put honey on my oatmeal in the wintertime. Good eating. Huh? Good eating. Yeah. First thing in the morning, kind of warms you up. Go out in the cold, like, that's good. Huh? God's word is sweeter than honey. Isn't that cool? Huh? God's word is sweeter than honey. And we can read through this whole thing, and you would be sleeping by the time I got done, probably. Which would be cool. And you get your rest for the day. But I mean, you know, there's just so many awesome things. But the thing that really caught my eye, and I was looking at this and reading through it, and there's just so much awesomeness to this. You ought to read this book. You ought to go home and read Psalm 119, and then read it again. And then read it again. You think, boy, I missed that last time. And then read it again. And read it again. And you'll find stuff you missed the whole way through. You'll read it 10 times and still find something you missed. But Psalm 119, verse 176. He's talking about God's word, how powerful it is, how wonderful it is. It's peace, it's joy, it's comfort, it's all this stuff. He's just talking about yay, 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 just all this stuff. And it goes and goes and goes. It's great, great, great. Sweeter than honey, richer than money, all this stuff. And in verse 176 says, I've gone astray like a lost sheep. I'm like, really? Really? I've gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek, inquire for, and demand your servant. For I do not forget your commandments. Isn't that something? After all this, looking, he says, I've seen you do things. You're so awesome. Your word is so awesome. And I'm like a lost sheep. And this verse 176 says, I'm like a lost sheep, but God will find him. He's going to seek him out. He's going to find him. He's going to find you. He's going to seek you out. He's going to find you. God will not let you go. He loves you too much. He paid an awesome price for you. He is not going to let you go. He loves you. Isn't that cool? He loves you. And that's just Psalm 119. We didn't look at too much, did we? Psalm 119. I want to show you something else. I want to show you something else. Psalm 105, or Psalm 119, verse 105. And this is what caught my eye. This is what started this whole thing. And I've been 20 minutes just talking about it, and I ain't got to the verse I haven't talked about. Huh? Isn't that cool? Psalm 119, 105. It says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Wow. Psalm 105 starts with the letter nun. God's word gives guidance. This illumination that we get from God's word. God's word is a lamp. You ever been out in the dark, didn't have a flashlight? I mean, you ever had a problem? Huh? I work early morning and late night. I have a light on my hard hat, turn on. And I carry a flashlight because I'm old and I like a lot of light because I can't see while I'm a trip over. And a lot of times I inspect equipment, so I'm all kind of looking around in the dark, you know, with this flashlight. And I thought, what would I be able to see without any light? Nothing. I couldn't see. I had to feel my way around. I'd probably get caught and trip on a rock and now walk through stones and dirt and concrete, rubble, all stuff. I'd probably lay out on the ground without a light, without some guidance. God's word, verse 105, says it's a lamp. It's a lamp to my feet and it's a light to my path. So I can not only see where I'm going to step on, but I can see where I'm going. God's word. Isn't that cool? Huh? So you read your Bible every day? Do you study God's word every day? Do you require it more than money? I got to go to work and make money because I got to pay the bills, right? We all do. We got to pay our bills, right? We got to go to work and pay our bills, right? You know, this is more precious than gold. And 90% of the time, it just sits on the shelf all week, doesn't it? What are you missing? What am I missing? What am I missing when I don't take an extra 10 minutes to read some more, or study some more, or look at some more? What am I missing? Why am I messing when I don't have God in my life every day, every waking minute? When that guy cuts you off in traffic. Huh? When they give you hand signals and tell you are number one. Praise the Lord. He believes me too. I'm number one. Yay. Huh? I drive a big truck. I get that a lot. People don't seem to understand that you can't take off fast and you don't stop quick in a 30,000 pound truck. They don't get it. You're in their way. Move. Really? And I'm like, only by the grace of God go I in a little car. Get him, God. Sick him, sick him, sick him. Huh? You ever do that? You know what I'm saying? You get that. I laughed. He had a flat tire. Me, me. You know what I'm saying? Huh? Wouldn't you? You know what I'm saying? You do this. You. Yes, yes. Huh? I'm just stupid enough that I would probably stop and help him change it. I would. I would be stupid enough. The Lord is. He's a, if they have a flat tire, you're going to stop. I'm like, oh. Huh? God knows my heart, right? God knows. You say things really quick, and you don't really mean them sometimes. Yeah. And I want to show you something else. We're in Psalms. I want to look at the book of Revelation. I found something this week that I thought was interesting. We've all heard, we've all seen pictures of... I got one in my study room, actually. There's a picture. It's an old picture. Josh, it's got to be 50 years old. It's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's standing outside this door. It's a garden. You see some flowers and trees. And he's standing outside this door, knocking. And there's no handle on the door. There's no handle on his side because he can't open the door, only you can. And I always attributed that to salvation. God comes and knocks on your heart. And you let him in. And you realize who he is in your life and how powerful he is in your life. And you want to get baptized because you want to show everybody that you have been created anew in Christ Jesus. Huh? And I read this again this week and I thought, you know, when I'm busy, working, busy, and God is not in my mind, I wonder sometimes if he doesn't knock and say, hey, hey, I'm still here. You, I'm still here. You know one of these numbers? And I believe I read this. It's talking about in chapter 3, in Revelation chapter 3. He's talking about the church here. There's a church here that he's talking to, Laodicea. And if you read this, he says, the words of the Amen and trusty and faithful and true witness, the origin and beginning author of God's creation. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's talking to the church, the seventh church. And he says, I know your record and your works, what you're doing. You're neither cold nor hot. Would that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. It's the only time in Scripture that I can find that God semi got sick. He spewed him out of his mouth. And if you study this, Laodicea was a town that had no well water. They had no well water. So they actually had all these cistern things made where water would run from somewhere else and come to them. So the water in Laodicea was warm. You ever been out when it's really hot and you want a nice cool drink of water? It's like, it's warm. I'll put some ice in it. We're an ice culture. We like our ice in our water, right? Huh? We like that. This is the analogy here, though. Other people would come to this town expecting a nice cold drink of spring water. And it was warm and they would... spit it out. That's the analogy here. God says, because you're not cold and you're not hot, I'm going to get sick. Really? So are you on fire for the Lord? Are you just walking around, woe is me. Thanks for noticing. Is that the way we do? Or do we get up and go, you know what? I am a child of the Almighty God. And you know what? He loves me. He loves me, and he knows I'm a dirty, filthy, rotten guy, and he still loves me. And we're going to have a great day. Huh? Is that how you start your day? When the alarm goes off, you're like, ugh. Huh? Is that what we do? And then the older you get, you got always, you know what I'm saying? Like, huh? The older you get, you know, everybody's like, you know it. Them little kids jump up and go, and us older people are like, ooh, yeah. You're right there. I'm coming right there. Huh? That's what we do. But you know, when you wake up in the morning, your arm goes off, and you're like, oh, Father, good to see you this morning. Good to be in your presence this morning, Father. What do you got going on this morning? What are we doing this morning? What's happening? Huh? He's been up all night working on stuff just for you to do. Isn't that cool? Huh? Isn't that cool, Tim? Isn't that cool? That is so cool. God's working on things just for you to do, brother. Get you out of that comfort zone. Huh? I got an email from a Navy SEAL this week. He said, sent me a little thing that says, comfort zone. He said, the first thing they teach you in Navy SEAL training the first week is to get out, get comfortable being out of your comfort zone. He says, that's where the magic, that's the word he used, that's where the magic happens. When God gets you out of your comfort zone, that's when his magic, that's when he does his thing. That's when I'm like, you don't have words, you don't have actions, you don't have thoughts, you're like, ugh. And God's like, I got it, let's do this, I got it, huh? That's when the magic happens. That's when God can use you because you ain't got nothing. You got nothing. We'll keep moving. We ain't going to get back to it here. He says, then he says, in verse 17, he says, you say I'm rich, I have prospered and grown wealthy, and I'm in need of nothing. And you don't realize and understand you're wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, naked. Therefore, I counsel you to purchase from me gold refined and retested by fire. This word has been tested for thousands of years, and people have been trying to disprove it for thousands of years, and this thing just keeps hanging around, and people just keep looking to disprove it, and it gets better. And they try to disprove it, and they find out that it's true. It's true. We keep finding stuff. We keep finding artifacts. We keep finding stuff. Isn't that cool? God just keeps just giving them little tidbits of stuff. Scientists say, you know, we think that it might be true because we found some things that has Laodicea on the money. It had to be a town somewhere. Isn't that cool? And then God, in his infinite wisdom, he just kind of I told you. He just, yeah. Anyway, he says, refined by fire, that you may be truly wealthy, and white clothes to clothe you, and to keep the shame of your nudity from being seen, and salve to put on your eyes that you may see. Those whom I dearly love, I tell their faults. Oh, that's what the Holy Spirit does. When I have that conviction, that guy, I hope you get a flat tire. And God's like, I confess that as sin, Lord. I confess that as sin, Father. I didn't. I confess it. If they have a flat, I will stop and help them. He convinces us and reproves and chastens. So, be enthusiastic and in earnest and burning with zeal and repent. Be enthusiastic! Wow! Are you enthusiastic about the Lord? Can you get a little excited about the Lord? I don't know why, but I do. I don't know why I do. I get up in the morning tired, and I come in here, I'm like, let's go! Huh? Man, praise the Lord for that. That's all Him, not me. That's all Him. And then verse 20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears and listens to and heeds my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will eat with him, and he will eat with me. He who overcomes, I will grant him to sit beside me on my throne, as I myself overcame and sat down beside my Father on his throne. He is able to hear, let him hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. Wow. So through the day, when you're busy, doing stuff, life, working. And you get that little small knock on the door that says, I can help you with that. Do you forget? I can help you with that. You forget I made that sun up there that's burning you really bad? I've been out in the sun before, and it's like, man, on a piece of equipment, that thing is 200 degrees, hydrogen, you're on it, and you're on your knees, and you got knee pads on because the heat's just sweat just running, dripping off, and the sun's beating you, like, whew, it's hot. And a cloud comes over. And you think, praise the Lord! Huh? It's that simple. A little teeny tiny cloud covers up that big old burning ball of sun. And I go, that's pretty nice. And you, Lord, give me another one of them. That's pretty cool. Huh? It's that easy. Isn't that something? It's just a little thing. And I believe that God did that for me. He gave me a cloud to give me a little break. Isn't that cool? No, that's just the clouds are a scientific anomaly that happens when moisture is and condense in the air and it comes together. And yeah, I know it was. But who made it happen? God. I give him the credit for it. Isn't that cool? It's that easy. When you're sitting in traffic and you're moving along at a slow pace, at least you're moving. At least you're moving. You ain't sitting, stop still. Been there and done that before. You know what I mean? There's so many little things I think that God does for us. You're driving around the block looking for a parking place and there's one right there, right in front. Wheel right in. Huh? Do you give him the credit for that? It's a parking space. Huh? There's a Dairy Queen, a little ice cream store down in Belleville. Neat little place, just a little place. I don't get to go there very often. I probably eat too much ice cream today. But here lately, for some reason, I went down there and I told the girl in there, she's talking, she said, how you doing? I said, I'm doing good. I said, how you doing? I'm pretty good. She said, yeah, this, that's well, good. That's good to hear. Praise the Lord for that. You know, I talked to her. Want a big old chocolate vanilla twist ice cream cone. Yeah, baby. Huh? You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? This is good right here. She brings me out, and this ice cream cone is that tall. I'm like, that's big. She goes, yep. I'm like, wow. Wow! I can't eat that much. I did. I lied. I did eat that much. I did eat. But that ice cream was huge. And I thought, praise the Lord for that. It hit the spot. It was good. It was a hot day. It just hit the spot. It was good. And I told the Lord, I said, thank you for your blessing in the ice cream. Because you got a big one. You know what I mean? You don't get that very often. You usually get a little dinky thing. You just got a lick and done. You know what I'm saying? Huh? I couldn't talk for a couple hours. My tongue was wore out. Look, I mean, that thing was big. That's saying a lot for me, right? I got a big mouth. It's the little things. It's the little things that God does that just lets you know that He's there. Isn't that cool? So when you hear Him knocking during the day, maybe you should open the door and let Him in. He says, if you do, I'll come in and eat with you, and you can eat with me. There's something to be said for sitting down and eating with people, isn't there? My dad wouldn't do it. At church, he would not do it. And you know what's really bad? I have that same problem. I don't know why, he never gave me a reason, but we would have church dinners. He would not go and eat with them. He just would not. He did not do it. I don't know whether something happened in his past. He never told me. So when we have dinners and stuff, I might eat a little something. I don't eat much. I'm not going to. I just don't. I don't feel right about it. And it's something the Lord's convicted me about. He has. He works on me on that. But it's interesting. If you can sit down and eat with somebody, talk and eat, it's kind of a nice, intimate time, right? Just talking and eating, right? That's the relationship Christ wants to have with you. He wants you to just come in and sit down and say, what's going on today? What's happening? Pass the potatoes. What's going on over there? You know what I'm saying? It's that simple. Let's just sit down and talk. And that's the relationship God wants to have with you. And that's the relationship you can have with Him. Looking at His Word. Reading, studying, looking at His Word. And understanding it is His Word. And you get to look at just who He is. And how awesome He is. How much He loves you. And what He's been doing for you. Even today when you didn't even think about Him. He was doing stuff for you. Gave you some air to breathe. Right? Didn't have to. Gave me another heartbeat. Didn't have to. woke me up again this morning, like it does every morning, with a song in my head. It's like a it's not the same song. It's just crazy, goofy-headed me. I wake up in the morning and there's a song in there going, it's a direct line to the throne room. Yes, it is. And I'm thinking, I haven't heard that song in months. And it's just going and going and going. It's like, praise the Lord, huh? Even when I'm sleeping, he's working on me. Even when you're sleeping, he's working on you. Don't forget he's working on you during the day, too. When you're busy with life, he's still there. He still wants to be involved in all those little decisions you make just to get an ice cream cone. Yeah. Get blessed by that. Huh? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I don't know what was said. Father, I thank you, Father, for being Lord and God and Savior and Creator and just all that you are. There's no words to express just how precious you are to us. There's no words to fathom how awesome you are. Father, we just thank you that you have written down some things that you are in a book that we can look at it, read it, study it, understand it, and just to know you better. Father, we can have a relationship with you, that we can come to you as children come to their parents wanting something, knowing without a doubt that you are listening. Your ears are attentive to them. Your eyes are upon them, Father, and that you want to bless them because that's your nature. You are a God of blessing. Oh, Father, we just thank you. We thank you and we praise you for being who you are. We thank you for being in our midst. We thank you, Father, for all that you're going to do. And, Father, we just praise you in your wonderful, in your precious, and in your very holy name. We pray. Amen. As the elders come forward and the praise team comes forward, we got a song we'd like to sing for you today. We don't have a guitar, we don't have a drum, we don't have a piano player today. We'll be back next week, probably praise the Lord for that. So we just have to suffer through us singing a cappella. But we have a heart for... It's suffering. We do have a heart for the Lord, and we praise the Lord. And these men, Jesse and Matt, I mean, they do love you. And they are here to pray for you. If you need something, you need to get to the throne room and talk to God. They have no closer relationship to Him than you. But they're willing to love you and pray for you right here. Right here, right now. And that's awesome that they're willing to do that. That they love you enough to do that. And we're going to try to sing a song for you this morning.
I have decided.